Welcome back to Indie Ball Nation. The season is here. We've already got a no-hitter in the books. I was there. What are the odds? You've been following along. No, I never see no-hitters. Literally never happened once. So it was a big day for me. Big day for whoever in the Hagerstown front office had to stay up that night and write a press release. Tough break for that guy, but that's not really what we're about here. We're talking weekend recap. We're talking Atlantic League preview. We're covering some ground in this one. It might be a long boy, but hey, it's only five series, so we're going to make it happen. We'll jump in. Let's just start it off. And we'll start off with the Atlantic League's newest team, the Hagerstown Flying Boxcars. Them boxcars were flying out the gate. First ever batter, Magnerius Sierra, had to learn how to say that one, but I'm going to have to get better at it because he keeps on doing the dang thing. He gets a single right off the bat. Boom, first hit for the organization. Fourth batter of the game, Curtis Terry, two-run double. Bam, first runs, Sierra and Abiatal Avelina. Talk about another name I got to get used to. They both score the franchise's first runs. Got to love it. Those weren't the only first, though, of course, because Parker Markle, Domingo Jimenez, and Enrique Santana make history, spinning a combined no-hitter for Hagerstown on the way. Hagerstown wins 4-0. Love it for Mark Mason in his return to York. Send that press release home like Paul Revere, announcing their presence with authority, like Nuke LaLouche. It's all from here. It's going to be easy, man. It's going to be easy. And then York Revolution got them 2 games in a row. Yo, it is what it is. Atlantic League's hard, man. Baseball sucks. It's going to happen. So, yeah, Chase Vallemont showed up, kind of ruined the vibe for the boxcars the next day. 5 hitless innings of his own, said, you can do it, I can do it. 9 punchies, getting gross on these guys. He's handed a no decision, by the way, for his trouble, so thanks for coming out, Chase. But York's offense did eventually get it done. They finally wake up for a 4-run 7th inning. They go on to hold on 5-4 on a Friday night win, even things back up. They would take Game 3 as well, only needing 4 hits to handle their business in a 7-6 win on Saturday. Walks and some bullpen squishiness is how we're going to go ahead and phrase that. Showed some cracks for the Flying Boxcars, but you start wondering, you know, is this more of a Boeing than it appeared to be at first glance? No hitter looks sweet, but is that just good pitching matchups? But Game 4 loss for Hagerstown could have been a disaster, but they managed to salvage it. They get a series split. They win 5-4 on Sunday. 3 straight 1-run games, by the way, between Hagerstown and York. That's an interesting way to go. That's pretty good for a new team in this league. Mike Kickham and Aaron Fletcher dueled early in that Sunday game. York got to Domingo Jimenez. That's interesting to see because he looked good through his first couple innings of work. But in his 4th inning of relief this series, they did get to him. That made a 1-0 game 4-1 for York. Frankie Bartow, though, could not shut the door for the Revs. Hagerstown made the most of it. They get that win. Now, let's give out, we'll call it some sandwiches here because we're going to try to be positive. I feel like it can go negative sometimes because how much are you going to say about guy being good? You can talk a lot about issues, but we're going to try to be positive here, especially as we're doing this preview episode. So we're at least going to start things off and end things for teams with some compliments here. Hagerstown, you and me, baby. Great way to start the weekend. Look great. Thursday night, got it done. Ruined the party for York. Love that vibe. Jeez, just chaos coming in here, doing it. Bringing Mace back to his home ballpark to just shut down a home opener. Brutal look. Love that. We've got so many new teams that stumble out of the gates in Indie Ball, let alone the Atlantic League. This team was competitive all weekend long. Every game they were in it. Experienced division rival to play against, and they handled business. They showed fight late in games. Vibes should be high, and they are, by the way, a surprise. Because Hagerstown, if you've been following, has had some, you know, will their ballpark be ready? Will they not be ready? Who knows? And then they're having to push some games back, and they're still will they, won't they on a couple of them. Look, very easy to be like, this could be a disaster. And guys are in that clubhouse like, this is, like, boys, what are we doing here? We might need to get out of town. Everyone I talked to felt good pregame, postgame. It seemed like everyone was excited. No hitters help. But everyone seemed like, yeah, they're hype. And they're hype about that ballpark. Apparently it's going to be very nice. So I got some details on that. I'm looking forward to getting down there once it's open to the full public. But that's a whole other conversation. But that's a good thing for Hagerstown for sure. Now, projections-wise, I mean, where do these projections come from? If you're new here, got a projection model. It's usually pretty close, usually within about 3 games per team, which I'm pretty proud of. And it does well. If you don't like them, I usually miss one team pretty badly a year. Usually one is more like 8 or 9 games off. So maybe it's your team. Maybe it's not. We'll see what happens. Let me know in the comments. Or frankly, just be angry about it and tweet at me. That's fine too. Hagerstown, they're projected to go 64-62 in this 126-game season. That is really impressive for a new team in the Atlantic League. They could threaten for a playoff spot, likely through a wild card, but they don't ask how you got there. They ask if you made it. The offense, that should be at or near league average. You'll take that as a win. Possibly even a little better than league average. Magnerius Sierra looked really good. Like, far more like the version of himself that showed up for AAA and then 6 years throughout the majors. He went 8 for 18 this weekend. Two walks, two RBI. He had at least like two swing bunts that became hits. That's at least what I saw opening night. But again, we'll count it. Same theory. They don't ask, you know, how it happened. They ask how many happened. It's fine. Yuri Perez, he projects to hit around 300. Nick Diaz and Curtis Terry, they also look like consistent weapons in that lineup. On the pitching side, they got a kick on Markle and Palumbo, three starters who all go through without allowing a run in their first outing. That's a big win. Adubre Ramos also looks like a promising option out of the pen. Now, concerns, there are a number. About half the offense isn't real threatening, got to be honest. Outside of Sierra, Perez, Diaz, and Terry, that team went 11 for 76 with three extra base hits. And if you're keeping track, that's they hit 145. They slashed 145, 235, 211 outside of those four guys. That's not going to get it done. Pro tip, you're going to want to bring more than half a batting order every night. Just trying to help. Even those four guys, by the way, aren't known for their power. They do project to combine for about 30 homers, but 20 of those would be from Curtis Terry in the projection. So concerning. Starters, they only covered 17 innings over these four games. The bullpen depth is already questionable and sort of showed some cracks. So that's something to keep an eye on. Pitching is projected to be some of the worst in the league, in large part due to that bullpen. Now, the relievers, they posted a 582 ERA in the first series. That's not good. It's not terrible, though. It's not the end of the world. They did strike out 27 batters in 17 innings, so that is a positive. It's just still something to watch. And something else also is the fact that Tyler Hill and Mike Golino went 0 for 16 catching base dealers this weekend. That's a tough scene. Got to figure that one out. Not sure if it's them, it's the pitchers, it's the runners, but oof, boys, get a pop time going here, right? Beyond that, it was a really good start for the new team. Don't let those negatives drag it down. This is going to be a fun team to watch most nights. That is a huge win for Hagerstown and the organization and the players. Everybody wins from this. The league wins from this. That's great. Looking at York, on the positive, this team's offense is going to need Jacob Rinesmith, and he looked very good this weekend. Five hits in the series, three hits and a homer on Sunday. Go off, kid. While York, they don't really have a flashy pitching staff. It's guys like Chase Vallemont, Aaron Fletcher. They make a promising rotation. And the bullpen's a good mix of like experience and young arms that should hold pretty solid most games. Now, on the flip side, being no hit is not a huge surprise because this lineup does not look great. Projections have it hitting them slashing 238, 334, 379. That would be at or near the bottom of the league. So that's a problem. This could improve, but it's concerning how much, not to get in the weeds here, but Rick Forney's Winnipeg team, it's kind of starting to resemble that. And that did not go well. Those of you from American Association land saw how that went. It was not impressive. So keep an eye on that. You like to think they're going to add a little bit more. Maybe they're waiting on a couple Visa guys or something like that. But it doesn't feel like a team that's maybe using their whole salary cap. Fascinating choices. And that could bite them here. York did bounce back from being no hit at home for two straight wins. That's a huge win. They have the potential to really collect more pieces as they go here, depending on what their mentality is. They still project to win 65.9 games. Love that for them. Up on, never in, Long Island. It was a long weekend for Lancaster as the Ducks take 3 of 4 from the defending champs. Stephen Woods Jr. drops 9 Ks on the table Thursday night on the way to a 6-2 opening night win. The Stormers made 5 errors in that one. What are we doing, boys? Did you not take fielding during spring training? Come on now. I will not believe Long Island's infield is that choppy. I'm not going to get on board with that. Anywho, don't get me started. Friday saw less errors, hey, but more bad vibes, for Lancaster. As the Ducks paddled the bullpen, see what I did there, for 8 runs over 3 innings on the way to an 11-3 win. Then you really start asking some questions when Lancaster coughs up the lead again on Saturday. The big Schwindler, Frank Schwindel, goes, yeah, I forgot I wrote that note. That was a bad note, but we're in this now. The big Schwindler, I'm not going to go with that nickname. Nope, not doing that. I know Frank Schwindel. I was there in Wilmington when he was there. Nice guy. That doesn't feel good. But he did go yard, so hey, that feels good. Jackie Bradley Jr., he had a 3-hit day. Came, home run short of the cycle. Nicely done. Good to have those boys eating it up if you're watching baseball in Central Islip this year. Finally, on Sunday, though, the Stormers did have enough. They pumped Charlie Neuweiler for 6 runs over just 2 innings. Tough start for him. They were not done, though. Kyle Hess, Chris Proctor, and Christian Santana, they all homer in a 13-4 win. Let's talk about the Stormers. Positives, they showed good fight late in this weekend. They can't get swept there, and they stepped up and made it happen. A big difference between being 4 games back of Long Island early and 2 games back. The team were hitting all weekend. This was not, you know, an offensive struggle for them. Even before their 17 hits on Sunday, good Lord, they were carrying a 277 average from the first 3 games of the weekend. One through six, the lineup looks really good. That's Dunston Jr., Diaz, Howard, Santana, Holsizer, and Carpenter in some combination most nights. Niall Ball and Brad Market, they both had good moments on the bump this weekend. However, I mean, this offense is good, but it might not be good enough to float the pitching staff. There's some real issues possibly on the horizon there. Missing much of last season's arms. I don't know. I posted it. I talked about an Anyball report, but if you were to take the top 22 guys in strikeouts who threw for Lancaster last year, number one and number 22 are the only guys that are returning this year. It's Niall Ball at one and a Brady Tedesco, I think, at 22. And Tedesco threw seven strikeouts. So even without a blow-up inning from Nolan Long, the bullpen ERA still would have been over seven. And that looks about right for a weekend of this relief staff against Long Island. So that's something that's going to have to be resolved if Lancaster wants to compete with Long Island all year and not just try to outlast York or something to make the playoffs. They're projected to finish a game or two under 500 this year after finishing the regular season at 500 in 2023. So that might sound kind of surprising, but it's about right. They had the fourth best record in the North Division last year. It was frankly not that impressive until the playoff run. So keep an eye on that. On the other side, the Ducks offense is the real deal. Frank Schwindel, Hector Gomez, Tyler Dearden, Nick Heath, and Chance Sisko all project to be above league average contributors in this lineup. Those five slashed 328, 453, and 500 this weekend. It'll be great to get Jackie Bradley Jr. going. We'll see how things progress there. He had a really good game, but then he looked bad the other two that he played. I don't think he played one of them. I forget how that exactly went, but one big game, you know, does not a weekend make. So let's see how that goes for him. It would be huge for them if they can get that rolling, especially when it comes time to compete with Gastonia and High Point. The pitching staff looks to be deeper than recent years for the Ducks, which is important to consider when you think about how close they've been to a championship the past couple years. Only a couple pitchers really stand out as below league average, and the rotation, which features like Wei-Yin Chen, Stephen Woods Jr., that's a promising start. I feel good about that pitching staff this year. Looking at some potential concerns, the loss of Dan Straley and Chris Ellis to contract purchase, one, hurts, but also immediately reminds you how vulnerable this team is to losing top talent and like key gap fillers throughout, just at the worst times possible. While the Ducks have benefited this weekend from contributions from guys that like aren't projected to make a big impact, there's a few guys who had really good weekends. I'd be surprised if they keep that up for long term. They really can't count on that. They might need to fill in the back end, like the back third of their lineup, a little bit better, especially to compete again with High Point and Gastonia. Still, the Ducks project to lead the league with in wins with 73.9. High Point, they went to Lexington. They punched the new/old-look legends, I guess. New brand, old brand, whatever. They just punched them straight in the mouth, though, for a four-game sweep. Game one, High Point blows a big lead late, but scores in the 10th to steal a 7-6 win. Game two, Aaron Perry was dealing for the legends on Friday morning. Strikes out 12 rockers, including everyone in the lineup. Perry gets pulled after throwing 94 pitches in six innings, but I do hear him went out in the parking lot and started striking out school kids heading back to buses. Just show and tell your mama that, kid. Unfortunately, it was enough. It was not enough, as the Rockers would break it open in the seventh inning for a 5-2 win, ruining field trip day. Saturday, High Point posted a high score, see what I did, in a 19-7 win. Outfielder Chris Loeb was the only Lexington pitcher to not allow a run. You can't have your outfielder being your best pitcher on the day. That's note. Not great. Yeah, man. 17 walks and 17 hits. Sorry. It's just jarring. You know, you're like, that can't be right. And you're like, no, that's right. I already back checked it. It's a lot, man. It's a tough 3.5 hours to spend watching that. They also gave up 5 bombs. Just, you know, wasn't all walking around the bases. On Sunday, it was a closer showing, but two late runs weren't enough for the Legends as the Rockers complete the sweep with a 4-2 win. Positives for High Point, their offense delivered like they're projected to. They're supposed to be the second best offense in the league. They look the part this weekend. Ben Niklinski, filthy. Just ruining. In the town he played his college ball, goes 9-for-18 with 3 homers. Rude. Nick Longhi also homers 3 times. Rude. Just brutalizing people out here. On the mound, High Point's pitching might just lead the league again this season, and they were eating this weekend. Or they're going to lead the league this season, I think. That's the projections. They were eating this weekend because 389 ERA as a staff, 49 Ks, and 37 innings of work. That'll play nice. Jeremy Rhodes, Peter Solomon, and Kyle Bearclaw all had good starts. They lead a staff that's projected to post an ERA in the mid-4s. That is very good for this league. look, negatives for High Point, there's not many. Competing with Gastonia is not going to be easy, but especially not if Ryan Grosjean doesn't get going. He was a big part of last season's success. He went 0 for 13 this weekend with 7 Ks. Now, on the flip side for him, he did put together good at-bats. He walked 6 times, so I'd like to think he's going to break out of this sooner rather than later. The Rockers are projected to win 69.9 games. The legends, positives. The organization seems much better this year, thank God. Attendance looked solid. Vibes seemed good, so, you know, as long as they can make the most of the season and repair that fan base, they have a good shot moving forward. That is key for them. Goal number one, don't fold. Try it. Maybe don't get sold for an offseason. Sick. Unfortunately, this Legends team is a bad baseball team. The sweep is not unexpected. The roster construction is badly flawed. Putting Greg Zahn in charge was a wild choice. There are better options left and right. Considering the pre-existing challenges that they have, it just shows in the roster construction. He was talking in a press conference about how he wants high velo guys, and like the type of high velo guys you can get in the Atlantic League are not a secret to success. Like, that's a good just an example of what we're dealing with here, especially in the ballpark they have, which is like a little league park. It feels like at times you're gonna give up bombs. This is a league where Don Goodson was pitching, throwing like high 90s, and he ended up having like a 6 ERA. I like him a lot, but like velo alone does not a pitcher make in this league. This is not the Pioneer League, like, which is where he came from. Pioneer League, you can chuck hard and do okay. You plus your own one strikeouts because they're playing those weird ballparks out there. This, it doesn't play here. And it showed early and it showed often. I think we're going to continue to see it throughout the year, unfortunately, for Lexington. The offense projects to be bad. The pitching projects to be worse. The projected win total is 47.6 wins. That's 10.5 games behind any other team in the projection rankings. It could be a long year for Lexington, but let's hope that the front office keeps it rolling and they'll have something to build off of for next year. Charleston, they take 3-4 at home from the Ferry Hawks, getting after it, Dirty Birds. The Ferry Hawks rode a strong opening day start from Christian Capuano, but couldn't avoid getting got by the Dirty Birds offense as Brian Warzek got into trouble and blew a save late. Delino DeShields Jr., he walks it off with a double and was a 5-6-4 win, conflicting reports. His point streak says 6. Point streak is unreliable, about as unreliable as Charleston's front office at this point in time, so don't trust them to do that well. Hearing that one of the runs right now scored, maybe Blake Swihart, if he didn't cross the plate, don't know. Whatever. I think it was a ground rule double situation, then things got weird. Point is, they got the win. Scoreboard be damned. Once again, the back end of the bullpen could not get it done in game two for the Ferry Hawks. Charleston handled business late again. 5 runs crossed in the 8th inning on the way to a 6-5 win. They go up 2-0 here. Staten Island would flip the script on Saturday. They scored 2 runs in the 9th off of Nick Horvath to grab a much-needed 6-4 win. But finally, Ferry Hawk pitching again got beat up on by this Charleston offense, which I think is not going to be uncommon this year for Charleston. They went 14-7, putting up a football score to get it done. Pablo Sandoval threw 2 scoreless innings to end this one. Again, a position player comes in and seems to be the best option for the day. That's bad optics. Kenneth Pablo Sandoval, one, hitting as poorly as he is, but whatever. But he did homer, at least. But you can't be having him throw 2 scoreless 4 days in, man. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. You hate that. But, you know, let's talk Ferry Hawks. Positives. This is definitely going to be a better team than they've had. I think this is the best Ferry Hawks team by a measurable margin. Mark Minakazi's definitely got a strategy here. He's good at putting rosters together. It seems to be he's getting comfortable. He's getting some big names in. Guys like Taylor Motter, Joe Dunnan, Jason Guzman. This offense is going to be closer to league average than we've ever seen from them. The pitching has some weapons that will be enough that they're going to make you work. They're going to have some bad days for you. You're going to have a bad time now and again against the Ferry Hawks, which is something we could not say most days past years. Brian Warzek, Aaron Leisher, Christian Capuano, Mike Shawarin, like that's good. That's a good start, man. That's a good base. I'm excited for them. I think they've been doing things much better than they were in the beginning. And I think, you know, I'm rooting for them, and it seems to be going the right way. Negatives. I mean, 22 runs and a 236 average against Charleston's pitching is not impressive. I expect this team to keep adding some good players. I would keep an eye on them. They're going to be making some transactions, I feel, but you know, they need to limit the damage by finding a rhythm as a lineup until they do that, because this lineup isn't flawed currently, so they got to find a way. The bullpen allowed 20 runs, 13 earned runs in 16 1/3 innings that were covered by the relievers that were not Pablo Sandoval. That's bad. You got to figure that one out. I mean, again, that's going to be more of a cobbling things together as you go thing. It's tough starting out against Charleston because they kind of put you behind the eight ball because they are so good offensively. But I don't see it. It will be better, but I don't see it being like way better. You know what I mean? The team as a whole is projected to finish last in the North with 58.1 wins, but it is about the most positive you could ever feel about an outlook that's like last place and below 500. This is a massive improvement for them. They're going the right way. There's an easy chance that this team could threaten for a playoff spot at some point here. Do not sleep on the fact that they were, with 2 weeks to go last season in the second half, they were really putting some pressure on for a playoff run. Wheels fell off at the end there. But, you know, new coaching staff, new approach here, building on what was there before. I think watch Staten Island. That could be interesting. Now, Dirty Birds, let's look. Positives. I mean, five homers and a 250 average on the weekend is about right for them over a four-day weekend in Charleston. Keon Barnum, Kevin Maton, Jared Carr, Gabriel Cancel, Tillman Pugh, Ruspe Estrada, Philip Irvin. I mean, basically the entire lineup. And that's not even every dangerous hitter they have. That's just where I decided to stop listing names. There are some good pitchers on this roster between them, but the offense is the headliner, right? I mean, it's a PJ Phillips team. We're used to this now. Good pitchers, they should be able to hold their own for the most part. The downside, if we're really going to look at it, is that those pitchers really need to deliver because they are right on the razor's edge. They're not done bringing guys in. I think they're going to continue to sign people, but they're going to need those boys to show out a little bit, and we can't. It kind of would blow up. So you know what I mean? That's really going to be the name of the game, is limiting the crooked numbers. I know it's for everybody, but specifically this team, because their offense is going to be able to put up two or three runs at a time pretty routinely. It's just giving them the opportunity where they, it's not like, oh, a four run inning from Charleston and they are now down 9-5. Like, that can't be it. That can't be happening repeatedly. I expect PJ to keep adding, as I said. He did that in New Jersey last year. So that's good. That seems to be a skill set he's building upon. I would expect Charleston. Again, they project to have 58.2 wins, finish fourth in the South, but they also have a massive high-end projection, one of the best in the league. So, you know, they're capable of winning up to 70 games if things really go wild. If someone's going to steal a playoff spot, it's the odds say it's Charleston. If whether they open up an extra wild card spot because Long Island sweeps the North, or some the wheels fall off Gastonia or High Point, whatever, watch Charleston be there to sneak in as long as they position themselves. I know they have some Visa guys coming in. They're probably going to hang around 500 to keep things looking good until then, but don't sleep on that team. Let's just see if they can kind of maintain as they go forward here. Taking 3-4 from Staten Island is a good start. Finally, let's talk about Gastonia stumbling out of the gate on opening day, but taking 3-4 from the Blue Crabs. Thursday night, Daryl Thompson takes the hill. As always, obvious. He delivers 6 2/3 of 2-run, 3-hit ball. Classic. 3 strikeouts and 6 2/3. Classic. Never change, Daryl. Never change. Papa. Is he everyone's dad in the league at this point? Lou Ford's now graduated Grand Ax. He's coaching. He's managing. I don't think he's playing this year. Who knows? He hit like 300 last year. I digress. Dale Thompson. Legend. Blue Crab, technically. Can't say legend anymore because legends are back. Gah, confusing. Blue Crabs, though, they scratched together enough offense on Gastonia to hand the lead to Andres Briseño in Game 1, who shut the door on a 3-2 win. Gastonia, though, would take those final three games, 7-3, 4-2, and 9-7. Jeffrey Ramirez looked nasty on Friday, tossing 5 no-hit innings. That no-hitter would go into the 8th inning, but, you know, fell short. And allegedly, I jinxed it. I don't believe so. Tweeted about it. Sue me. Tweet about the Hagerstown one. They weren't bothered. That was in the ballpark. Causing chaos. But that's all I'm saying. I don't think it's on me. Take it up with the people responsible. Anyway. Sean Semple, Brett Daniels, they battled on the bump on Saturday, by the way. That was a good one. It was Gastonia's bullpen, though, that will win the war. Wins 4 scoreless innings of work from them there. Very good work. You like to see that from Gastonia's bullpen because they are, you know, any bullpen in the league. It's sort of like, let's see what happens when you get tested for the first time. They held up. Good. From there, the Gastonia offense did take care of business on Sunday, dropping a 9 spot to take that series. Gastonia's Justin Wiley, Jake Gatewood, and Josh Stowers, they all homered twice on the weekend, while the Blue Crabs' Peyton Eels went deep 3 times in 14. 14 at-bats? Really? Goodness. Maybe 15. 14 or 15. Went deep 3 times. Gross. Get after it. For Southern Maryland, positive. Southern Maryland brings a solid rotation, good bullpen, an impressive set of late-inning arms to the table, and an average offense. Here's the negative, though. For the second consecutive year in all those areas, they're just feeling slightly worse. A small step back last year, small step back this year, looks like. And the league is getting better around them. And that's the concern for a team that's never won championship and is trying to get consistent playoff presence in a second straight year with some like championship-based hashtag with their team. But you can't be stepping backwards. It kind of loses the edge. So keep an eye on that. They have a history of positive development of players during the year, during multiple years. So that could be where we're heading with this. Keep an eye on that one. But, you know, they project to win 59.2 games, sub 500. It's going to be tough to argue with that, especially in the South Division for them, which is a brutal take. Gastonia, positive. Starting pitching looks very good. Jeffrey Ramirez, Brett Daniels, Ian McKinney, they lead the way. The bullpen should have four or five above average options night to night. On any given night, I mean, you could look at Brian Blanton, Gabe Klobotsitz, Zach Lowther, a host of other guys. That's a solid bullpen. That's complementing a lineup that should be, I mean, really right around the top of the league again. I wouldn't bet on them to bring the same energy as past seasons. Frankly, the offense is missing some weapons from last year, last playoff run. But, you know, that just means, to me, that just means there's some more question marks. There's some more wiggle room for where things could go wrong. But I do think they are going to execute pretty well, be at the top of the league, right around it at least. Seems like they could be susceptible to some cold streaks, that's all, if they catch some good pitching at a bad time, which is unfortunately a real threat when you're battling with High Point. Projections, Gastonia projects to win 70 games and narrowly be good enough for first in the South by 0.1 games. That's the projection. That's how close that is between those two, who I think tied in both halves last year, High Point and Gastonia. Making it entertaining as always. Let's look at the standings before we move on. In the North Division, Long Island 3-1, York and Hagerstown 2-2, Staten Island and Lancaster 1-3. Flip side in the South Division, got High Point at 4-0, Gastonia and Charleston at 3-1, Southern Maryland at 1-3, and the Legends at 0-4. Tough one to see. How about let's have a little fun here? We'll do a little bit of over-under. Of course, I don't have my graphic in front of me, so we're going to just vamp for a hot sec here while I figure this one out. We'll go with pulling up projections, because I'm not going to scroll through my notes and be like, wait, what did they do? No, I'll go crazy. All right, here we go. So let's go through projections. I'll do my over-under, and then we'll call it a day here pretty much, yeah? So over-under, we'll go north and we'll go south. Okay, we'll go Staten Island, 58.1. I think they'll go over that, barely, maybe by like a game. I feel like a 59-ish. Lancaster 61.5 wins. I think they do go over that by a couple. Oh no, I don't know, man. They might be right on. That might be like a 60 win team. I'm gonna go below, but oh, I don't know. No, I'm gonna say over by a couple. 63-64 wins. Hagerstown 64 over under. I'm gonna go Hagerstown under. No offense, just probably about like four games, maybe 60. Keep them the 56-60 range. I think they'll probably have a bad stretch there at some point. I think 56 probably feels about right. I do think under. That could be a big mess on the projection model. Feels vulnerable. York, I think, goes 65.9 is their projection. I think they go barely over that. Going to be close. I think they barely go over that. That's my vibe. I think the Ducks, 73.9. I think they win the first half and take their foot off the gas slightly. I think they go under the 73.9, but not by much. Looking at the South Division, I got you with Gastonia, 70 wins. I think they go under that, but barely. Not their fault. I think they're in a good division. I would say more of the same for High Point, but barely. Like, they're projected 69.9 wins. I think they could be 69 wins. And then I would say maybe Gastonia, like 68. It's going to be close. Last three, Southern Maryland, projected at 59.2 wins. I think they are better than that. I think they'll go over on that one. As far as the Dirty Birds, 58. I think they'll go over on 58.2. Yeah, Lexington, man, 47.6. I don't see. I think they go under. Not by a lot. But I think they go under. That's a hot take. That feels bad. I don't like that. Don't like for the worst team in the league by notable margin to go on the under, but I think that's that. So, hey, that's a bummer to end on. Should end on the high notes, but that's how life goes sometimes. Let's see what we got here. Closing this thing out. Playoff predictions, personally, think out of the North, it's going to be Long. Well, out of the South, let's go Gastonia, High Point. I think that's the easy answer. Long Island's definitely coming out of the North. I want to say York. I feel like York gets it together and goes. But I think I'm going to say York with a caveat that it really could end up being Charleston slipping in in a wild card situation if Long Island sweeps that first half. Then we'll go, I mean, Long Island, I think, is going to make the championship. I think Gastonia will once again. I think High Point gets got by them. I think High Point goes to the championship, and I do think Gastonia. I think High Point goes. Gastonia goes to the championship. I think Gastonia does take out Long Island this year. I think Long Island's on the improvement track. I think it's a good bounce back year. Lou Ford at the helm. I think Gastonia's been improving a step every year. Missed the playoffs, made the playoffs, made the championship. I think they do get it done this year. Very forward-thinking crew over there. I think they will make it happen. Not that Long Island is a nice thing. You know, they're a very good team. This coming week, matchups. We got a weird one between York and Gastonia. They play today, Monday. Then they play two on Tuesday. And then I think Gastonia's off Wednesday, Thursday, because past ownership and their mess decided to put two graduations in the middle of a homestand. Thanks. Go work, everybody. So that's weird. But then on the normal schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you got Charleston at High Point. That'll be going. We're going to learn a lot about Charleston there. I think that could be that. I think High Point will take at least two out of those, though. Hagerstown at Lancaster. I think we're going to, again, learn a lot about Hagerstown and Lancaster, because Lancaster really needs to have a showing there. That'll be one to watch. Staten Island at Long Island. I think we're really going to learn what the difference is between Long Island and the rest of the league right now. And then Lexington at Southern Maryland. That could go poorly for Lexington. If you're Southern Maryland, cash these games in, because that's a big opportunity for you. A team that's going to have to grind against some very even teams this year, really beat up on a team that's worse. That'd be huge for them. Content-wise, look for probably a video or two this week. Definitely going to do one Friday or Thursday night, recapping the week series. Then might do a little bit of a series. I'm trying to start watching teams' games, so like watching a Rockers game first, just get some quality time with them, because a lot of time I'm watching highlights and box scores and individual players, but just sit down and watch a game. I think it'll be fun. And then doing more previews. More preview work coming. Next week we'll probably do an American Association and Frontier League preview. So we'll see how that goes. For now, that was a lot to cover, but we did it. We made it through. Good to be back. Hey, squad. Nice. What do you get done? Check me out on Indie Ball Report Podcast. Check out Indie Ball Nation. Subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening on podcast platform, check it out on YouTube. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not making promises. If you're watching on YouTube, check it out on podcast platform. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not making any promises. But you don't have to look at me. So that's good. Other than that, that's what we got. Season's underway. Go team. Got a weird game to watch tonight. Usually don't have Monday night action. So hey, no complaints from my end. Thanks for a weird scheduling, Gastonia. Way to do that. I'm Ryan from Indie Ball Nation. Have a good one. May not have a lot, but I love what I got. A 4x4 and a good fishing spot. I hope this time my card won't decline.